Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tzitzit Perek Bet. We saw in Perek Aleph that of the 8 strings of tzitzit hanging from each corner of the beged, 7 are lavan and 1 is tchelet. This string of tchelet was described only as dyed in the color of the sky, but we haven't learned anything else about where this dye comes from and how the string is colored with it. This perek is about the details of tchelet. Halacha Aleph. Tchelet hamura b'Torah b'chol makom, hi atzemer hatzavua kapatuch sheba kachol, v'zohi d'mut harakia hanir'et la'ayin b'taharo shel rakia. V'atchelet hamura b'tzitzit tzarich shetehei tzviata, tzvi'a yidua she'omedet b'yofia v'lo tishtane. V'chol shelo nitzba b'ota tzvi'a, pasul tzitzit. Aval pishu ke'en harakia. Kigon shitzvao be'estes, o b'shar ha-mashchirin, hareza pasul tzitzit. The Torah mentions tchelet in 2 contexts, tzitzit and the building of the Mishkan, including the materials used for clothes of the Kohen Gadol. In both contexts, the term refers to wool which is colored a shade of blue, resembling the appearance of the cloudless sky during the day. The words of the Rambam here make it sound like this should be the blue of the middle of the day, which is a brighter shade. But at the end of the perek, we'll see that he says that black is similar to tchelet, suggesting, as other sources also suggest, that tchelet is the color of the sky as the sun goes down and day turns to night. Specifically in the context of tzitzit, the tchelet must be colored in a known manner, in which the coloring is permanent and does not fade. If it is colored in a different manner, the tchelet is pasul. The source of the tchelet dye, as we'll see in the next halakha, is an animal, not a plant. Even if a plant source, like indigo, yields a dye with the same color, this is invalid for tchelet. Halakha bet. Ketzad tzov'in tchelet shel tzitzit, lokchina tzemer v'shorin oto besid, v'achar kach mechabsin oto ad shiyeh naki, umartichin oto ba'ahala v'chayotze bo k'derech sh'atzaba inosin, k'dei shi'iklot et ha'ayin, v'achar kach mevi'in dam chilazon, והודג שדומה אינו לאין הים, ודמו שחור כדיו, ובים המלח הוא מצוי. ונותנין את הדם ליורה, ונותנין עמו סמנים, כמו הקימניה וחיוצי בה, כדרך שהצבעין עושין. ומרתיחין אותו ונותנין בו הצמר עד שיעשה כעין הרקיע, וזוהי התחלת של ציצית. To make the wool into תחלת, it is soaked, cleaned, and boiled with materials typically used in the dyeing process, after which blood of the chilazon, a type of snail, is added. This blood, though initially black, produces the sky blue color of tchelet necessary for tzitzit when it is boiled together with the wool and with a type of ground-up plant used in the dyeing process. What is this chilazon? Do we know nowadays how to identify it? The Rambam only says that it is located in the Yam HaMelech, by which he does not mean the Dead Sea, as the term is used today. There are no life forms in the Dead Sea, beyond microbes and fungi, but rather the Mediterranean Sea, the Yam HaTichon. At the time of the Gemara, there clearly was a well-established tradition as to the identity of this chilazon. But this tradition was lost sometime during the period of the Gaonim, possibly due to the Muslim conquest of the Middle East. By the time of the Rishonim, including the Rambam, the source of tchelet was unknown, and tzitzit had the form familiar to us of being entirely composed of lavan. The first person since then to seriously investigate the source of tchelet and identify a specific species was the Radziner Rebbe, Rav Gershon Chanoch Henech Leiner, at the end of the 19th century. He identified the source of the dye as a type of cuttlefish, whose dark blood he was able to turn blue with the aid of contemporary chemists. He corresponded with several Gedolim of his time, who cast doubt on his discovery for different reasons, but the Radziner Rebbe felt that even if his identification of the source of tchelet was only possibly correct, a suffix, this was still good enough reason to use it. After all, the requirement of tchelet is midoraita, and even if his tchelet is wrong, it can count as lavan. Recall that lavan strings can actually have any color, not only white. The next person to study this topic intensively was Rav Yitzchak Halevi Herzog, who would later become the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel. In a doctoral thesis written in 1913, he decisively rejected the Radziner tchelet for 2 reasons. First, it turned out that the chemists who had turned the cuttlefish blood into blue dye did so by adding ingredients which themselves produce a blue dye, the blood itself being burnt off in the process and supplying only basic chemicals, which can come from many other sources. Second, the blue of the Radziner tchelet is not the correct shade of blue. The Gemara speaks about a plant source called kala ilan, indigo, which looks very similar to tchelet, as the Rambam alluded to in Halacha Aleph. Unscrupulous merchants would sell kala ilan, claiming that it was tchelet. But the Radziner tchelet is a very different shade of blue from indigo, and there is no reason that anyone would be unable to distinguish between the two. Rav Herzog suggested other possibilities for the source of tchelet, ultimately favoring a type of snail called gentina. His conclusion remained theoretical, as he never actually produced tchelet strings using this snail. Another possibility suggested by Rav Herzog was the Murex trunculus snail, which seemed a perfect fit except for one major problem. The dye he was able to produce from it was purple, not blue. There things stood until the 1980s, when an Israeli chemist named Otto Elsner made a breakthrough discovery. The dye produced from the Murex trunculus turned blue if it was exposed to ultraviolet light during the production process. As ancient dye manufacturers worked outdoors, unlike in the modern era when this work is typically performed in a factory, their dye was exposed to sunlight, which is rich in ultraviolet radiation. Thus, dye produced from the Murex trunculus would indeed turn blue. This discovery revived Rav Herzog's rejected conjecture about the Murex trunculus, and within a few years, tchelet strings were being produced from this snail and received approbation from several prominent gedolim. There is now an organization called Petil Tchelet, which produces and markets this tchelet, and also engages in a variety of educational activities to promote the observance of this mitzvah to a wide audience. I encourage the listener to visit their website to learn more about this wonderful organization. They sell tchelet in three varieties, corresponding to the three opinions we discussed in the last parak about how many tchelet strings should be tied on each corner. Tosfo tchelet, with two full tchelet strings and two white. Rivet tchelet, with one tchelet string and three white. And Rambam tchelet, with half of one string tchelet and three and a half white. Despite the high likelihood that the Murex trunculus snail is indeed the correct source of dye for tchelet, many gedolim have expressed reservations about it. Some are not sure that the identification of this snail is correct, while others believe that once the tradition of how to make tchelet was lost, it cannot be reincorporated into halachic practice based on scientific experimentation alone. Whatever the reasons, it remains the case 40 years after the discovery of Otto Elsner that the majority of Torah observant Jews do not wear tchelet. Halacha Gimel. Tchelet shel tzitzit tzricha tzvi'a lishma, v'im tzva'a shelo lishma psula. V'hayorash yesh b'hatzeva, im tzava bo ma'at tzemer levodko, im hu yafe im lav, nifsela hayora kula. Ela keitzad yase, lokeach hatzeva min hayora b'chli katan, umaniach bo ma'at tzemer shebodek bo, v'soreif et shebadak, sharei nitzba livdika, v'shofei hatzeva shebakli shebadak bo, sharei te'amo ufsalo, v'tzove atchelet b'shar hatzeva shalom nifgam. The tchelet must be dyed lishma, for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzit. If this is lacking, the tchelet is disqualified. Hence, when the dyer wishes to check if the dye produces the correct color in the wool, he may not put the wool directly in the vat, as this would mean that the dye was not made entirely for mitzvah use, but also to check the coloring. This would disqualify all the dye in the vat. To check the coloring, he must first remove some dye into a small container, place the wool in that to see if it colors properly, and dispose of the remainder of the dye in the container. Then you can use the dye remaining in the vat to color strings of tchelet for tzitzit. Halacha dalet. Hatchelet eina nilkachat ela min hamumche. Choshishin shema lo nitzba alishma. Va'af al pi shenilkacha min hamumche. Im nivdeka v'nodash nitzba'a be'achad mishar tzivonin hamashkirin she'enan omdim. Psula. Tchelet must be purchased from a reliable expert, as otherwise there are two concerns, both of which we've already mentioned. It may be that the dye used to color the tchelet was not the correct one, but rather the invalid kala ilan. And even if the dye is from the correct source, a seller not expert in the details of lishma may have ruined it by checking the coloring of the wool inside it, as we explained in the last halacha. In Halacha Hey, the Rambam details how to check if tchelet was colored with an invalid dye by soaking it in a mixture of pungent substances. If the color does not fade, then the tchelet is genuine. Even if it does fade, if it comes back after being baked in an oven inside a certain type of dough, then the tchelet can be used. Halacha Vav. Chatzer shemochrin ba hatchelet v'ayu muchzakin b'chashrut lokchin mimen astam v'eino tzarich b'dika. והרי היא בחזקתה עד שתחשד. המפקיד תחלת אצל הגוי, הרי זו פסולה, שמה החליפה. ואם הייתה בכלי והיה חתום בשני חותמות, חותם בתוך חותם, כשרה, בחותם אחד, פסולה. When someone purchases tchelet from a place known to be reliable, he does not need to check it, as we just described. If he deposits tchelet with a non-Jew and then retrieves it later, he needs to check it, as there is a concern that the non-Jew may have switched the expensive tchelet with a cheaper substitute. But if the tchelet was deposited within a container that had a double seal, and both seals are unbroken, then he may assume that the container was not tampered with. Halacha Zayin. Hamotzei tchelet bashuk. אפילו מצא חוטין מופסקין, פסולה, ועם שיזורין, כשרה. הלוקח תלית מצויצת מן השוק, מישראל הרי היא כחזקתה, מן הגוי, מן התגר כשרה, מן הידיעות, פסולה. If someone finds tchelet strings lying on the ground in a public area, he may not use them for tzitzit, as it is likely that they were colored for some other purpose and lack lishma. But if they are shizurin, composed of several strings wound together, then he may use them, as the assumption is that the only reason anyone would go through the trouble of winding together tchelet strings is for the purpose of tzitzit. It's interesting that this is the case, even though the Rambam ruled in the last perek that tzitzit strings do not need to be shizurin at all. Recall that the Raiva there argues with the Rambam on this point, and he brings this halacha as proof for his opinion that the strings of tchelet must be shizurim. If someone buys in the market a talit with tzitzit already attached, then he may assume that the tzitzit on it are ksheirim for the mitzvah, if the seller was a Jew, or a non-Jewish merchant, who, we assume, bought it from a Jew. But if the seller is a non-Jew who is not a merchant, then the strings on the talit are not assumed to be kosher for the mitzvah of tzitzit, as the non-Jew may have spun them himself or dyed the tchelet himself. Both of these actions require lishma, which the non-Jew cannot provide. Halacha chet. Talit shehi kula aduma o yiruka o mishaar tzivonim o sechutei lavan shala ke'en tziva im yiruka, yirukin, vim aduma, adumin. הייתה כולה תחלת, עושה לבן שלה משאר צבעונים חוץ מן השחור, מפני שהוא נראה כתחלת, וחורך על הכל חוט אחד תחלת, כדרך שעושה בשאר ציציות שאינן צבועים. The Gemara says that the lavan strings of tzitzit are supposed to be mimin kanaf, that is, similar to the beged on which they are tied. For the Rambam, this means two things, the first of which he says here, the second we'll see in the next parak. The lavan strings, which we saw can be any color, should in fact be the same color as the beged itself. The exception is if the beged is the color of tchelet, as only one string should be tchelet to be wound around strings of some other color. In this case, lavan strings can be any color but tchelet or black, as black is similar to the dark blue of tchelet. The Ravid here has a Hasaga in which, surprisingly, he agrees with the Rambam. But the Kesef Mishnah has a long discussion here about this halacha and concludes in the Shulchan Aruch that only the midaktikim, those especially careful in their mitzvah observance, follow this requirement of the strings matching the color of the beged. The Rama adds that Ashkenazim do not follow this stringency, though the Magen Avram suggests that we have the custom for the talit to be white in order that the strings indeed match the color of the beged. Halacha Tet. קשה עונש מי שאינו מניח לבן יתר מעונש מי שלא הניח תחלת, לפי שלבן מצוי לכל, והתחלת אינה מצויה לכל, לפי שאינה מצויה בכל מקום ולא בכל זמן, מפני הצבע שאמרנו. The Rambam ends the perek by pointing out that as important as the requirement of tchelet is, ultimately the punishment is greater for someone who doesn't wear lavan strings than for one who wears lavan without tchelet, as lavan is readily available in all times and places and is far less expensive than tchelet. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.